Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. When it comes to Mother's Day, at Ritual, we believe in giving her flowers. But are flowers what she actually wants? We asked around, and flowers are fine, but most women would prefer science-backed gut support that never wilts. While we're at it, throw in Stress Relief, our chill pill designed with clinically studied forms of ingredients to reduce daily stress. Did we mention that all of our supplements are clean, vegan, and third-party tested for heavy metals and microbes? Because if you ask us, the thought counts, but traceable science and sourcing count more. Find your ritual. Get what you really want this year, whether you're a mom or not, with 40% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I
have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble or listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. If you haven't rated the show yet, we would appreciate a 5-star review if you think we've earned it, only if you think we've earned it. We are fighting the algorithm battle as best we can. Hey, the website, macroaggressions.io, has everything that you're going to need. If you are interested in connecting with any of the sponsors, there's a partners page over there. Chemical Free Body has been with us from the beginning. They make supplements that actually work. It's fantastic. Green 85 is just a scoop of that and some water in the morning. Mix it up, drink it, and you're done. You can add on the detox bundle, which is 4 separate different containers of capsules. It's really like the easiest thing you can do. It's just a matter of, have you decided to take control of your health? Because nobody's going to be able to do it except you. If you're tired of being sick, take a look at chemicalfreebody.com. And if you find something that you like, please use the discount code MACRO on your way out to save you a little bit of money. And also, to the nice folks at Legal Shield that have been running this business for half a century in the United States and Canada. They're going to get you access to an attorney in your area for a very, very, very reasonable price. $30 a month will get you access to an attorney that can take care of all kinds of documents and everything. If you get speeding tickets or traffic tickets or red light camera tickets or anything like that, send it to your attorney. If your work wants you to sign some weird new employment agreement that includes language about medical procedures that you agree to do or not to do, whatever, send it to your attorney. No longer are we going to play this game where we just allow the businesses to tell us how things are going to be. If they want you to sign something like that, tell them you're going to have your attorney look it over at Legal Shield. Best place to find out more about this is the website that they created specifically for us, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. It's a great place. You can find information about the Identity Shield, the small business plan. If you're somebody that carries a gun and you need documentation for that, they've got it. There's a lot going on over there. So best thing to do, go to the website, read up about it, see what you think. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to do that. But for all of the sponsors, if you're driving or you're someplace where you can't write this down, go to the website or you'll find the links in the show notes below. So we got you covered. Well, it is my great pleasure to welcome back to the program the author of the new book, The International Satanic Network Exposed, ladies and gentlemen, Makia Freeman. Good to see you, Makia. How are you?
I'm good, Charlie. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, we're not going to be talking about unicorns and rainbows and donuts and fairy tales and all this stuff. We are going to be talking about a satanic network. So it's not exactly the topic that's right for every single member of your family. But look, we live in this world. And for those of us that have been paying attention, unfortunately, this is the reality. There are some dark forces at work here. They operate at the highest positions of power in across government, business, you name it. They're there and they are tied together in a very unusual relationship. Where do we even start with this? Well, let's start with the first word, the International Satanic Network Exposed. Okay. So you're Australian. We're in America. You're in America too. We Americans tend to get very America-centric. We think that this is the only place that this is happening, or that this is a problem that is, you know, limited to us. And then you pull back a little bit further and you go, no, this has been going on a long time. Actually, if we want to get honest, it's really more of a European thing maybe than the America-centric. Where does this network live? Does it have a home base? Is it international and in scope and controlled from a central location, or is it decentralized? How is this network set up?
Well, it has many bases, actually. I wouldn't say that there's one base, but it's interesting you ask that, because we can kind of take this in a few directions. We can kind of go more into the Satanism now, but maybe before we do that, I've just finished reading a really great book called The Predators Versus the People by a Dutch author. And I hadn't heard of him before, but his name, I hope I'm not butchering it, is Mies Bayayan. And anyway, he does a great job of looking at just the last 500 years of the global conspiracy. And, you know, other authors have picked up the thread at various points. You can pick it up in the Middle Ages. You can go back to Egypt and Babylon with the mystery schools. Bill Cooper did a lot of great work on this. David Icke's done a lot of great work on this. You can pick it up at different points. But picking it up 500 years ago is interesting, because what happened then was that there were basically a group of bankers, and they realized that they could do this thing where they could create money out of nothing and then charge interest on it. And slowly they would suck all of the productivity, all of the wealth into their coffers, and most people would not even realize it. And so they started setting up their base of operation in Genoa and Venice, in these Italy city states. But of course, enough people caught onto it and things got too hot for them. So they had to move. And so they moved around to Spain. And they combined with Jewish merchants then. Again, not all Jews, but there were a certain segment of Jews that were into this, that were doing it. And so they kind of joined forces. When things got too hot for them in Spain, well, then they started moving north up the Atlantic coast. And that's when they made Holland into a great power, even though it was just really like a small country. And then when Holland became kind of unconducive for their activities, they moved over to Britain. And then when the sun started setting on that empire, then they moved over to the US. So I encourage everyone to kind of read this book and familiarize yourself, because it's an incredible tale of what they did. But they were really the power behind these these countries that we think, oh, how did the Spanish Empire become so great and powerful? How did the British Empire? Well, actually, it was being run, it was being controlled behind the scenes by these bankers, and they were putting the kind of government in place that, that was conducive to their activities. That's how it was. You know, when the Catholic Church opposed usury, well, then they helped create Protestant, and that's all these Protestant countries in the north of Europe, like Holland and Germany to some extent, and England, were Protestant because the bankers were mainly kind of pushing that because they wanted a capitalist open free market kind of system to make money to basically charge interest on this private money they were creating. That was the reason. So basically the power has kind of shifted from different countries over the years, and we can get into this further in this interview, but they're basically now about to shift it back east to Russia and China. And so each time they've kind of moved base, they've destroyed the country they were in. They've kind of left it in the dust. So, I mean, the Spanish Empire was incredible. I mean, if you look at all the colonization it did of the Americas, and then suddenly it just kind of disappeared. Like it lost its colonies. These days, Spain is not a very important country, even in Europe. It's not even in the top four most powerful countries in Europe. Like, what happened? Well, the bankers took out all their capital and they didn't fund it anymore. It wasn't useful for them. It's kind of like, a parasite that's using its host. And when its host becomes useless, they just move on and find a new host. And so, you know, they were in Holland for a while, but I think even though they moved their base of operation from Britain to the US over 100 years ago now, Britain's still very, very important for them, you know, because the city of London itself is a jurisdiction within a jurisdiction, kind of like Washington DC and the Vatican. It's its own country. It's its own place. It has its own rules. It's not subject to like the rules of the country that it's in. And so they kind of do what they want because the bank has created this. And so, you know, if you're looking for a base for kind of the banking power as well as the satanic power, and there's one and the same thing when you go deep enough, yeah, you can look at places like Washington DC, the city of London and Vatican City and some other places in Europe.
Yeah, the bankers are the most dangerous. I remember putting out the Octopus book and people would ask me about the eight various tentacles, and they would make the assumption that the military tentacle was the most dangerous. And I'd say, well, maybe for like overt killing it is. But in terms of just enslavement of the entire world, I would say that the banking arm is the far more dangerous. And when you add in the satanic component to it, now you're talking about a whole different entity, because it's banking and the power that comes from banking, and then it's this other power that's in the other world. And do these people, are they of the belief that this other world is sort of communicating and running things through them? Are they a conduit for this satanic like they are to put in place in this physical world the dictates of what is being told to them from the satanic world?
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good way to put it. I really want to make that clear, because there are a lot of researchers in the alternative media field, and you know, there's a lot of great people who, you know, I would probably agree with on a lot of things, but some people really stop short and they're like, well, you know, I believe that the elite are kind of evil or satanic, but they don't believe they're literally satanic. They just kind of think like they're up to no good. But no, I want to make it really clear with this book and my work, they are literally satanic. They are literally engaging in satanic ritual, which does all sorts of things. I mean, we're talking about using torture, abuse, rape, murder, hunting other humans, cannibalism, blood sacrifice, and literally opening up portals where there's demonic possession that's occurring. Some kind of two-way street is happening where they are giving over their power to some kind of entities to get possessed. That entity is putting ideas or things in their mind. This is literally happening. And it's not just some people who have this weird fetish doing it on the side. We are talking about the people with the most power in the world. Prime ministers, politicians, royalty, and then the people that pull the strings behind the scenes who control them, they're into this. And we have so much evidence, and that's what I've tried to lay out. I mean, people need to understand, like, yeah, this whole thread is massive in terms of the control of power. And then that leads down to the banking, how they control things on a physical level. And the other area where they control, before we even get into like military, is the control of perception. That's also a huge thing.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, it's now escaped beyond just the banking. We're starting to hear tech people talk about this in a very unusual and concerning way. We have Jordy Rose, the former CEO, founder of D-Wave, being interviewed several years ago talking about how he was using their quantum computers to open up portholes to other dimensions and dragging information back that was being given to him. Now, he said that on camera. He wasn't misquoted. He said it multiple times. This is something that they're dealing with. Do you think that perhaps they're trying to make a shortcut, the same sort of path that the satanic ceremonies are used to open portals, that maybe they're trying to hit it from another angle, from the digital side of things with these quantum computers?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I think they're trying to go deep into understanding the nature of reality and then keep that knowledge for themselves and then feed the masses some nonsense. And that's kind of what they've done throughout time. There's been these secret societies, and they've decided we're going to keep this knowledge about the real nature of reality, about who we are, what a human is, what we're capable of, and how reality works. We're going to keep all that to ourselves because knowledge is power, and we're going to be able to control people if we hold that. And then we're just going to feed them different ideologies and isms that are very, very narrow and limited, and often are just kind of like a false dichotomy. We're going to feed them like communism and capitalism, Zionism and Nazism and feminism. And now there's wokeism and all these isms, and just lead people into these cul-de-sacs where their perception is totally narrowed and they can't see the real thing. And I mean, you know, we've known for a while that some of these elite bloodlines, such as the British royal family, were in secret kind of pursuing astrology and totally using that to plan out all their events. But then publicly they would disparage it, or they would create front organizations, which would be like, oh, astrology is a pseudoscience. Yeah. It was the same thing with, say, John D. Rockefeller. He was made all his money with like petrochemical, with oil and all of this. Then he'd start Big Pharma and like pump out all these like poison pills and push that as like medicine and set up all these organizations to discredit every other kind of medicine, whether it was homeopathy, naturopathy, chiropractic, everything else like was quackery suddenly. But then in private, he was said to have had a homeopathic physician who attended to him and who are you. So I kind of see like a similar pattern of this is what they want. They realize like, hey, they're so power hungry. Anything they can do to kind of understand reality or get some advantage on the rest of the population, they'll explore that in secret. They'll keep it for themselves, and then they'll publicly discredit it to keep people off the trail.
Let's talk about some of the rituals, because this is an area that is easy for people to be dismissive of when you hear this and you talk about, hey, you know, these guys are a bunch of blood drinking Satanist pedophile lunatics that are conducting ceremonies and you know, a normie's like, oh, stop, you know, that's crazy. And I get it. It is crazy. It doesn't mean it's not true, but it is crazy. But the idea that there are, We start to see these rituals performed in public, Super Bowl, MTV Video Music Awards, all of these award shows. You start to watch them, you go, the opening of CERN, the Goddard Tunnel, the ceremonies that went on there. You watch this and you go, what am I watching? You know, like, this is a music show. Are somebody going to get an award here, or is somebody going to be sacrificed on the stage? Because it all feels very, I mean, it's overt. It's not even like, they're not even messing around with it. And then you start to see these, you know, these other award shows where they work through like each of the Freemasonry steps, and you go, this is like a ceremony or something, right? So are they throwing it in front of us?
I think so. I mean, it's very interesting if you go back and look at some of the, like the culture in the 50s and 60s. So you can go back and look at, say, there wasn't MTV but there were like, talent shows or, you know, like music shows. And it was so innocent then, you know, that the kind of lyrics or the way that people held themselves, like it was just a much more innocent era. So like, what the hell has happened, you know, in just the last few generations to get from the 1950s to now? Like, yeah, it has really become completely overt. And it's like they're not scared to hide it, to bring it out in the public anymore, and go, this is what we're doing. But to kind of get back to what you were saying just before that, yeah, I understand that the reaction from a lot of people who aren't familiar with this is going to be like, this is crazy, you've watched too many movies, like, you know, where's the evidence of all this? So what I've tried to do in my recent book is really just lay out what the evidence is and take people through it step by step. So first of all, we have some video evidence You know, Alex Jones, love him or not, he did an amazing work in a piece of work in 2000 when he actually snuck into Bohemian Grove and he had a little camera on his chest and he was able to videotape a big part of this ritual, which was called cremation of care. And that's when they're basically pretending to cremate care, you know, if as though it was like a personality or a person. And so what does that really signify? Well, care is the compassion and the empathy that we have as humans. So they're trying to deliberately kill or destroy or bury the caring part of themselves. And I mean, that alone is highly disturbing that someone would want to do that to themselves. Yeah. But see, the people that are into this are psychopathic. They have cut themselves off from their empathy and their caring. And so then there's very little or no limit to their behavior, because empathy is also kind of what keeps us in check. Like when we see that we're hurting someone else, right. That kind of hopefully helps us to kind of readjust our own behavior. So we're not going to operate in that manner. But for these people, I mean, if that part of them's gone, there's really no limit on what they can do in terms of like exploiting other people, looking at the rest of humanity just as cattle to be like used, exploited, and even killed.
Yeah. So we've got Bohemian Grove on camera as a ritual. We've got the not that this necessarily is like a smoking gun, but it's definitely weird. You see those pictures from the Rothschild parties in the early 70s where everybody's wearing interesting costumes and split personality costumes and antlers and all kinds of weird shit going on there. We've heard about hunting parties in Belgium and in the Netherlands, and that is really concerning. Is there any truth to that? Have you found a truth to that?
I've found a number of different women who've incredibly brave women who've actually been brought up into this cult. They were born into the satanic cult. They were reared not only to be part of it, but some of them, actually a lot of them, were reared to take a certain position in it, like a very high up position where they were like a mother goddess, or there's different names that they were given, where they were basically trained to like officiate these ceremonies, these rituals. And they describe what they went through, all the torture and abuse that was done to them at a very young age to make them split off, to dissociate. And this of course ties in with MKUltra. And we know MKUltra existed. It was declassified. It was a project that ran from 1953 to the 70s. It had 153 sub-projects. It's there in black and white if people want to look that up. And you can see what the CIA was doing. It was experimenting with lots of different things, lots of drugs, to try to see how it could basically split people's minds, how it could hypnotize them, make them more suggestible. And then it was creating alternate personalities called alters. And the idea with the alter is that one part of your personality doesn't know what the other part's doing. There's some kind of barrier of amnesia between the two. And some people have many, many alters. I mean, so some of these mind control slaves, they say, oh, I have like 10, 20, 30 alters. And so the alters would be brought forth with a certain trigger. It could be a smell, a word, anything. And then they would perform and do all this stuff in that alter. And then the alter would be brought back. It's kind of like one of the victims describes it as like a filing cabinet where you open a drawer, you take out a file, you put the file back in, you close it, you lock it with a key, and then it's very, very difficult for the ordinary person to ever get access to that memory. And so in this way, they're able to do all this kind of stuff and keep it secret. And they can only really create these this split personality with all these alters by doing horrible abuse and torture to the kid at a young age. And get them so messed up that it's like a natural human defense mechanism that we dissociate when we're in the face of something that's so traumatic that we feel like it could overwhelm or destroy us. And so they take advantage of this kind of natural psychological defense mechanism to create these alters, and then they use them in the satanic ritual.
And then they put them on MTV and make them pop stars like Britney Spears and all the ones that melt down, Amanda Bynes, all these poor kids that come up as little young pop stars. And then by the time they're in their 40s, they're wandering aimlessly or dancing with knives or doing stuff like this. This is how'd you like to be a survivor from this? Break away and tell that story. That's a lot of bravery right there to first of all, to grow up in it, and then to convince yourself that you actually can escape from it, because I would expect that they've been told their entire lives that you're never getting away from this. This is going to be with you forever.
Yeah, and they're told all sorts of stuff. Like, if you ever tell anyone about this, we'll kill you, we'll kill your daughter, we'll kill everyone. I mean, imagine being told that. And also, they have to overcome so much programming because they think this is normal. They grow up in that, yeah. And they just think, oh, people go to rituals and drink each other's blood and kill each other and kill animals and hunt each other. That's normal. And when they realize that's not normal, they're like, I mean, it's incredible that it's mostly women who've escaped this. There's some men, but I mean, I just have so much admiration for the women who are able to get out of this. And I have a lot of them in my book. I've studied their testimonies really carefully and as faithfully as I could, kind of written down the details of what they experienced. And, you know, getting back to people that doubt this, I mean, when you read the testimonies and see the videos of these women speaking, a lot of them have books, and they are saying stuff that they corroborate each other's account across the board in terms of what they went through, how the cult operates to kind of keep its secrets, how they abuse and torture people to create the slaves in the first place. The people that are involved, the same names come up over and over again, whether it's Henry Kissinger, whether it's the Bushes, whether it's the British royal family, whether it's other US presidents, British prime ministers, again and again and again, same people attending these rituals doing this. So either all these women are like complete lunatics and they're just making it up for fame and glory, and they've all secretly collaborated to kind of make up these tales, or they're actually real. And you know, for me, I have absolutely no doubt that they're telling the truth. I mean, they have detailed this in incredible detail. Some of them are from Australia, some of them are from Europe, some of them are from America. It seems like, you know, that's, I mean, as we were saying earlier, like this kind of satanic banking elite did make a base in Britain. But, you know, it does reach its tentacles out to around the world, too.
And Kathy O'Brien was the first person that ever got on my radar as somebody surviving satanic ritual abuse. And her stories about that and the conversation she's had with David Icke over the years have been profound and terrifying. They really open your eyes to this network. Does this network have a name?
Not really. I mean, I just call it the International Satanic Network. I mean, I've heard people call it the Satanic Cult. I don't think it actually does really have a name, but there are many offshoots from it that people might know about. I mean, this is the same force that was really behind the creation of the Round Table at the late 1800s. And then that had the offshoots of the CFR in America and the Royal Institute of International Affairs in Britain, which did kind of similar things of like basically controlling the presidency or the prime ministership and putting out very important propaganda for the public to kind of gobble up with regards to kind of like capitalism versus communism, or demonizing Germany before the two world wars, or all sorts of stuff like that, to basically kind of move the world in a certain direction that the bankers had planned out.
Yeah, I've been really interested in the Cecil Rhodes Roundtable Group, Royal Institute of International Affairs, CFR, all that stuff, because I'd never really known much about it growing up. I'd never, you know, heard of the CFR. Maybe 2010 was the first time I'd ever heard of it or something like that, but it doesn't get much. It wasn't on my radar, but nowadays, now I'm starting to dig into this, and I'm starting to see the similar fingerprints. With the Roundtable guys, there was a real interesting component that I assume means something, but what I found was that most of these guys, Cecil Rhodes and these high ranking guys, were all homosexuals as well, mm-hmm. as being involved in this. And I wondered if this predisposition, if you're gay, you're gay. I grew up in like the gayest city in America, in Palm Springs, California. It's like, it's sort of normalized. But one of the things that, you know, if you're in a gay relationship, is that there is, I mean, maybe nowadays it's changed, but you're probably not going to reproduce. Right. So I wonder if having that mentality of knowing I'm not going to reproduce, I'm not leaving somebody behind that's going to have to deal with this, does that, I wonder if it frees them up from a psychological standpoint to do unspeakable things, because they're not necessarily leaving anybody behind in terms of a family. But I noticed that, and maybe it was, I don't know, maybe it comes out of like the aristocracy, where being like bisexual was a sign of wealth and prosperity or something along those lines. But did you ever get any sort of patterns forming with regard to the high-ranking people being homosexuals?
Yes, but it's not so much about what you were talking about, where they're exclusively homosexual. Perhaps what I see people in this satanic cult are is that they're like, you know, basically they'll have sex with anyone or anything virtually. Like some of the people go to such extremes, like man, woman, animal, child. I mean, they're all into pedophilia for starters. I mean, pedophilia is a very important aspect of this, yeah. Unfortunately, because it's really about the extraction of that youthful, innocent energy and trying to get it. So, you know, there's this, the exploitation that happens just through the like forced rape of children, but also then when it gets into drinking blood, they're specifically going for like the prepubescent blood, because there's something about that blood before the adult hormones come in that they're craving. And to me it's more like that. And one of the testimonies I have in the book is with an Australian woman, Fiona Barnett, and she talks about how they go berserk. Like they'll just, when they get into these kind of states, they just want to screw anyone and anything. And it's almost like this frenzy.
Oh man. Did you have a chance to talk to Fiona Barnett about this?
No, I didn't, but she's one who's written a really detailed book. I mean, Kathy O'Brien has written books. So has, Bryce Taylor. That's Susan Ford is her real name. But Fiona Barnett's book is really, really worth reading. It's actually free online. Eyes Wide Shut. I think it's called. But it's basically 400 or 500 pages. And she has a really good understanding now of what they did to her and how they operate. And, yeah, you know, she names all sorts of names. She talks about Nicole Kidman. I mean, obviously, yeah. Nicole Kidman's from Australia. A lot of these famous Australian actors and actresses went to Hollywood to make it big. But there's a whole ring in Australia as well that also involves the top intelligence officials and prime ministers, just like it does in the US and Europe. And
George Pell, too, the cardinal, third ranking guy at the Vatican, who is in Australia. And he, I think he's dead now. Or he's in prison, or is he dead, or both? Hopefully.
I don't know, but I remember when that scandal broke, I was in Australia. Yeah. Yeah. He is part of it. Yeah, Tom Cruise is part of it as well, and that's not surprising. I mean, the Kidsman and Cruise, that they were married for a while, and they were also the two main actors in Kubrick's film Eyes Wide Shut.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. That movie is telling us something in a way that did it get him killed?
I think so. I mean,
I think so too.
It's circumstantial evidence at this stage, but the fact that he would just have a mysterious heart attack right before its release, when he had specifically put all this stuff in, that the executive said, "No, we're cutting that out. You're not gonna be allowed to kind of release that." I think it's just too suspicious. But I mean, he's another one who really just gave his life to kind of expose this, because what he portrayed in that film is, I think, very accurate to actually how it works. And he even went out of his way to shoot those sex scenes, those ritual orgy scenes inside a Rothschild mansion in the UK. Just to give it this real feeling of authenticity. And so I'm sure Kubrick was very familiar with this. He was probably either asked to attend these, and maybe he did attend some of them himself as a participant, because, you know, he was already kind of in it after what had happened with the moon landings, because I'm a believer in Jay Widener's theory that Kubrick was the man that they went to and said, "Hey, we need you to draw up the movie set for the moon landings, make it look really authentic and really real." And Kubrick made a deal with the devil and said, "Okay, I'll do it, but my deal is that basically you give me complete free and artistic reign on any movies I want to make for the rest of my career and fund them." And so that's what I think happened. I think he basically, then he had to get read in, as they say, or brought into it. So he knew all the secrets. So then he could never talk, and he was always going to be under threat of like basically being killed or having his family being killed if he ever spoke. So he's only kind of resource, like, since he seemed to have a conscience and he was carrying this horrible secret of, like, you know, bullshitting the public about us landing on the moon, which is a massive, I mean, when you think about all the kind of psyops and propaganda stunts they've pulled, I mean, that's a huge one to lie to people about.
It's the biggest lie ever told.
I mean, yeah. And so to be responsible for that lie, I think it probably weighed on him, and he knew he couldn't really come out and say it without getting killed or having his wife killed or whatever. So what does he do? Well, he uses his art to try to tell people what happened without telling people. It's kind of like the plausible deniability. Yeah. And so I think he did a little bit of that in other films that came after that, like The Shining. You'll see that in The Shining, there's certain scenes where there's a kid playing with like a toy car or something on a carpet, and it has Apollo 11 and on the carpet. And so people have interpreted, okay, what is he really trying to say with this? And then the room has a certain number on it and all of that.
237. It's 237,000 miles away from the, people that want that are real hardcore movie nerds or autistic or something, they can pick that movie apart and they just say, yes. If you started at the same time as you know, like the Wizard of Oz, you know, like all these things, like, you know, there's a lot of fun in that. But I agree. I think that if you're making a movie of the moon landing and you are introducing these front screen projection, which was a technique that he really brought to light and he'd used in his films. And you can see it's all over them. The moon footage is all front screen. I mean, it's so fake, but you would have to, if he would have known what the punishment would be for talking, if he was in the group, he would know. And if he, and so the only way you could let that out would be to do it through your art. And so here we get to Eyes Wide Shut, which comes out. And if for those that haven't seen it, go watch it. It is really wild. We've got, there's symbology all throughout that movie. You could watch that movie 10 times and not pick it all up. And it feels very much like, now if he had gone on to make, you know, a bunch of other movies afterwards, Top Gun 5 or something like that, I wouldn't probably feel the same way about him. But the fact that that was his last movie, that they probably killed him because of that movie, and then they cut out 17 minutes or so of footage, something around there. They cut out quite a bit that nobody has ever seen that apparently was too spot on. That just makes it even more believable from my standpoint. Doesn't it to you? I mean, the fact that you, when you watch that movie, it's filled with all kinds of hidden messages. They're talking about this, and then the guy up and dies before it comes out.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah. And it's very clever the way he does it, because he deliberately uses two very famous and well-known and good-looking actors and actresses who were part of this. Because Fiona Barnett talks about the Kidmans. Her father, Anthony Kidman, was a famous Australian psychologist and well-known public figure. He abused her. It's like he was a pedophile too. So she was kind of screwed up from a young age. She went to Hollywood. That probably totally screwed her up with all the pedophilia and mind control that happens there. And then she marries Tom Cruise, who's got the whole Scientology thing. And he pops up throughout these stories too.
Really?
Yeah. Fiona Barnett mentions him a number of times, that he basically witnessed sacrificial killings of people and seemed to be enjoying it, seemed to be getting off on it. There's another woman from Europe who goes by the pseudonym Chantal Fry. She grew up in Switzerland. You know, she speaks French, German, a bit of English. She's a very interesting witness as well. And basically she was part of a lot of stuff that was happening at some of these European sites, such as La Sagrada Familia, which is the big, very well-known church in Barcelona, designed by Gaudi. And so, and then she was also at the Chateau de Amaroy, which is this famous kind of castle in Belgium where they train for this. It's like a home of Satanism. But she talks about Cruz showing up at some of these events as well. So it's, I mean, it all ties together. You hear these women, these witnesses talking about the same bloodlines, the same people at all these events.
Do we get any musicians on this list? Because it seems like there's a real pivot towards this. I mean, it's so overt. You have, like, a couple of years ago, the Lil Nas X satanic video where he's getting, like, fucked by the devil. You know, I mean, they're not even subtle anymore. I mean, there's just so much, you know, Jay-Z and his triangle hand, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, some of it feels very contrived and almost fake, like they're trying to impersonate people that came before them that were doing it, and maybe they're not read in on this whole stuff. But I also know that, like, when you become like a huge star like Drake, whose music sucks, there is only one explanation, is that you have made a deal with somebody, probably the devil. I remember being suspicious of Drake because he had a Sprite commercial that came out before his first album came out. And I was like, how does that happen? Please explain a universe in which you're getting marketing deals before your albums are out. That doesn't make any sense. Then he goes on to have this big career. So Satanism inside the rap industry, is that a thing?
I mean, I don't recall many of these top level women who were in on it talking about that many musicians, honestly. But they did say occasionally musicians were there, but I think they were just kind of brought in maybe to entertain. I don't know how deep they were really within the network, but I know, I mean, it seems like the main people in the network are either politicians or the people that are basically their handlers right behind the level of politicians and royalty. Now, but there are some famous actresses like Tom Cruise that were a part of it. There was a French actor called Gérard Depardieu. He was there at a lot of them. Some of the Middle Eastern, the Saudis, like there was a whole connection with Diana and, you know, how she was ritually killed. So there was Dodi, his father. Sorry, was Dodi Dodi the father of her lover?
Dodi was her boyfriend.
His father was part of this.
Yeah, network. He owned Herod.
Right? Yeah, because he was basically, it seems like, kind of talking behind the scenes with Queen Elizabeth and the British royals. And so, yeah, I mean, I suspect maybe some certain musicians might be deep enough into it that they're kind of more part of it. But I suspect other ones are just kind of told, we're going to write your music, we're going to do your marketing. Like, this is the deal. You want to be famous, then you sign on the dotted line, you do exactly what you're told. Otherwise, like, we'll replace you. You're completely replaceable. We can pick, like, out of 100,000 other people who'd want to be, like, famous and give their soul away for it. So it's like, it's so controlled, you know.
I remember getting told by a guy who had like was an impeccable source on this that David Geffen, owner of Geffen Music, DreamWorks, one of the three guys from DreamWorks, would his big kink was he loved to pay straight guys that weren't gay a lot of money to have sex with him. Is he liked to break them down, and that was his thing. And then the guy that was telling me this, his roommate had been propositioned by him, and it wasn't a little bit of money either. It was like $125,000. It was like a lot of, like, enough money where you go, what? Like, you know, and I said, really? And he goes, yeah. And so then I asked another guy that I knew, a big actor in Hollywood that I knew. I said, who happens to be gay and would be in that circle. I said, hey, can I run something by you? Have you ever heard of David Geffen doing that? He goes, oh, he's the worst. He's 100% he would have done that. Yeah, I don't know. He's like, I don't know the situation, but that's a guy that would have done it. Is this just at the highest levels of Hollywood? Is everybody sort of in on it? Is this Hollywood's dirty secret? Is that it's run by satanic pedophiles?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's so rife there, whether it's coming through the music or the movies. It's a real hotbed, and there's so much pedophilia. I mean, it's just so sad. Like, if you listen to all the actors that have come out and talked about it, like Corey Feldman, there's so many actors that have basically said, yeah, this is what happens. Like, you're left alone on a set. And even some of the big names, like Spielberg is implicated in this, like, having raped certain kids. Like, it's horrific. You know, and the parents probably think, oh, my kid's been made into a star. And then pretty soon they basically separate the kid from the parents, get them alone, abuse them, torture them. And, you know, it's been going on a long time. It's really horrific, honestly.
It is. It hurts your soul just to think about this. And I don't, you know, we're not trying to dwell on it, of course, but we're just trying to make people aware of it to the extent that they know that it's a thing so that you could avoid it. You said something earlier about how this is sort of pivoting on to the East, to China and to Russia. This is interesting because I remember an interview I listened to with Catherine Austin Fitz, who was assistant director of HUD under Reagan. And she was sort of in that group, but she didn't like these people. And she relays this meeting she was in, and I want to say it was 1997, might have been 98. And in this meeting, she said that everyone in the room said that they just had made a decision to pivot towards Asia, that they're just financially, that they're like, America's done, we're just going to make this decision. And she was kind of like, her reaction was like, that's it? Like, we're not going to like give it a, we're not going to try to save it. And the, and she said that they had made the decision that from a financial standpoint, they were done. They were onto it. Now, when I hear that the Satanic Network is sort of following that, and you talk about how it hollows out these once great empires or nations or whatever, I'm not going to say the American Empire was great, but I mean, there's it, because it's done some bad things, but you can see it moving on like a, like you said, like a parasite host relationship comes in, infiltrates it, maybe takes it over. I've seen those videos of the dead bugs that get a parasite in their brain and the parasite makes it walk, you know, and it's making a dead bug walk. And in my mind, I just go, that's America. that's the American Empire. We've been taken over by parasites and they're making us walk into things. How does this look as it, as it moves east? Is it going to be a new, like, what is, how do the Chinese feel about this? What is their ideology towards, you know, the universe, heaven, hell, whatever, Satanism? I never hear, when I think Satanism, for whatever reason, I think of white people. I don't think of Asian people being satanic. Maybe that's racist of me to not assume that they could be satanic, but I just never really crossed my mind that they could be. As we move this to the east, what does that look like?
Well, first of all, I'll say that I think that decisions like, you know, Catherine Austin Fitz hearing these people talk about it, I actually think that is downstream to where the real power is. So I would say that basically the real power had already decided even before that meeting, yeah, this is where it's going to go. We're going to start moving out the location, the central base east. And then later on, that filters down to government policy and things like that. But basically, you know, this group of bankers, they kind of moved around Europe because they wanted a place where they could have complete free reign to exploit as much as possible. They didn't want religion like the Catholic Church or Islam as well forbidding usury. They didn't want any kind of limit on it. And so they kept trying to set up what they wanted pretty successfully. But they kind of, you know, there's only so far you can go with this kind of pump and dump scheme they have where they basically just pump the national debt of a country up and then it just starts collapsing under its own weight. And so there's kind of like a life cycle of how long an empire is really going to last, right? But the other thing is to consider is that so much has happened in the last, especially 20, 30 years with technology. And so now we're moving into an era where there really can be like technocracy set up. And China is really leading that with all its social credit scores and surveillance cameras and the fact that it's just invested so heavily in all of that. And it's basically got, it's been able to enforce a lot of that on its population already. I mean, in some of my videos, I show big screens in China. I've never visited China, but I see the big kind of like billboards and they actually flash people up there with their name and then the crime that they did to publicly shame them. They just put out all their information in the open. I mean, can you imagine like what an invasion of privacy that is? And just the vindictiveness of trying to get the population to turn against each other to kind of get people to fall in line. Because if you don't, you're going to be like publicly shamed. Like it's like something else. And so way back in the 1970s, the decision was made to open China up. And that's when Rockefeller visited and Nixon visited. And then they started to say, okay, we're going to start hollowing out America's manufacturing. We're going to move it over to China. So this decision was actually made a long time ago. See, this satanic banking class thinks not just 10, 20, 30 years in advance, not just 50. We're talking 100, sometimes hundreds of years. And that gets into a whole other topic of like, you know, who is really in charge here? And I think it's a non-human force, but we can leave that aside. This is a short interview and we don't.
I'm in agreement with you too, because there's so much of this. If no other reason, it's a non-human force relaying messages to the humans, telling them to do their bidding out there in the world. Right. That is one thing I will give these lunatics credit for. They are multi-generational in their approach to these problems or their form of what they want to impose on people. They'll take a long-term approach. You'll find a guy, you know, the Rockefeller family, generations of them, earlier generations doing the work that they know they will never reap the rewards for because they're so ideologically married to this idea that makes them look for things, you know, 75 years, 100 years down the road. That to me is incompatible with sort of human nature, but it is compatible with something that is non-human, that plans to be around and exist for a very, very long time. And it's a timeline that works for the non-human entity, and maybe a timeline that doesn't work for the humans, but the humans are told, do your job. I don't care if you're not going to be around to reap the rewards. We need you to do this. So I know it's crazy. Everything about this is crazy. To think that they're getting messages from something that we don't understand that is non-human is no more crazy than the fact that they are having hunting parties. You know what I mean? It's all bad.
Yeah. That's really well summarized. Well said. Yeah. So I think that the decision was made to hollow America out and transfer to China. And it's just kind of taken a while to get to this point. But now we see in the 2020s, in the last 5-10 years, China's surpassing America in certain things like economics. It's not going to be long before China's surpassing America in like a lot of these key indications of how do you rate a country? How strong is it? And it's only kind of going in one direction. China is going up. The US is going down across the board. The US really only has its military to hang on to, but that is going to get hollowed out. And look what's happening. We have like Secret Service, full of women who can't holster their guns. And we have, a military that is fixated on getting the right pronouns for people instead of actually being like the strongest and most skilled it can be. So it's happening, you know, it's been hollowed out. And, so, you know, what they kind of realized though early on was when they'd overtaken Britain and they'd set their sights on America, they got America. It took them a while to get the bank here. So there was a lot of people that were aware of like, we're not having a bank. Thomas Jefferson spoke about it. Other founding fathers spoke against it. There were some that were for it, but then we had Andrew Jackson fighting it off. But eventually they got America in 1913 with the Federal Reserve and the IRS. Once they'd kind of achieved that, then they were like, okay, so now we actually, our ambition is so great. We want to conquer the entire world. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we have to set blocks and nations against each other, have them fight. It's order out of chaos, the New World Order motto. So that's why they had to kind of ally Britain, France, and Russia against Germany to kind of keep it down and smash it. And then it eventually kind of took two wars, but they were able to get now US military bases in Germany and Italy. So they're kind of like, basically colonies. And so they have to kind of do a similar thing now if they want to conquer Eurasia, because there's some big empires there. There's China, Russia, Iran. But the plan is this time, the US and the UK aren't going to win. They're going to get destroyed. And so then they're going to get colonized, or they're going to have some big disadvantage. And they're going to export the Chinese model of technocracy and communism and centralization of power and no questioning the government. That's the kind of model they want for the entire world. And so that's kind of why they made this decision a long time ago. Let's move power east, because they saw the communism that they created through their agent Marx and through the Russian Revolution and all of this. It took hold in Russia and China, and then went down to, you know, Vietnam and all these other places in the world. And they saw, you know, this is a really good model for us. Just like, you know, capitalism for a while served us really well. But communism is the kind of model combined with technocracy that can give us like the absolute most control over the global population. So we want to basically prop up countries that have this model, and we want to export this model to the world. So for a while, it was like America shooting its love bombs of like democracy and freedom and all of that, because that was the model they wanted for the rest of the world. Well, now we're living in very interesting times, because it's all been shifted over to the Chinese model. And this is also why you see these weird things about the British royal family. Suddenly everyone's getting cancer. There's all this fighting, you know, Harry's left. And I mean, it used to be, and I mean, in some ways it still is, like a key New World Order bloodline. But yet it seems like, you know, maybe its time is coming up as well, because it's not going to have the same kind of power and prestige that it used to have in the New World Order now, because it's going to be this technocratic, there's not going to be aristocracies or monarchies. It's just going to be like this computerized system of control with like a ruling class, and, you know, no more of this kind of these former structures that used to serve them so well in controlling the population have kind of, it seems like, you know, maybe outrun their time.
Yeah, well, if you get the Bank of International Settlements having a universal ledger, and you can run all the central bank digital currencies off of that, now you've got the digital money supply locked down. You bring in the Chinese technocratic system of facial recognition cameras, which they've already exported to Ecuador. They did a deal with Ecuador, and Ecuador was like sort of a test market for that. So you can see their thinking that they're going to export that elsewhere. They're also growing with the BRICS Plus and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. That is a huge, talk about a 40-year plan. This is where we're getting into the Belt and Road Initiative and the BRICS Plus and all of these new groupings up of Asia and South Asia and Central Europe. And this is going to be, this to me seems like America is behind the eight ball on trying to get involved in this new Silk Road. They're trying something that's similar to it. It was very weak. They didn't have enough money behind it. I mean, there's already been $1 trillion spent on the Belt and Road, and so it's hard to kind of catch up to that. But I can envision a scenario in which the Chinese system is very much liked by the ruling party. It gives them everything that they want: full surveillance, total control, social credit system. I mean, you can turn people against each other. You can turn them into outcasts. This is a huge problem. I wonder, though, is it from a cultural standpoint, do they have to mix it up? Can they go in there with the same satanic kind of way of thinking, or are they going to control them through money magic?
I mean, I imagine it's both. You know, I don't think Satanism has to be restricted to one particular race. I mean, it's a mindset, and I think anyone it could manifest itself in any race or country or culture. I think that they're really pushing hard for this, and we're just living in very interesting times because this is all happening really, really rapidly. And, 2 points I want to make. One is that China and Russia are fully on board with this whole United Nations Agenda 2030 thing. I mean, they have put out joint statements reaffirming their commitment to sustainability, the whole greenwashing agenda, the whole demonization of carbon dioxide, like all of it. They are fully behind that. So if people think that BRICS is like some kind of genuine alternative to the old school Anglo-American New World Order, it's not. They're gonna bring these countries into it and push the same kind of thing. So it's not some savior. We have to realize that this agenda is global in nature, and then the bankers have managed to find a way to also control Russia and China. The other thing I want to say is that if we look at history, and it's very important to study history so we can understand how it happened and what could happen in the future, the same thing happened with Germany. They basically turned Germany, which was kind of not even really a country until 1871, but they built that up and they made it into a very strong country through all this investment and building stuff. And then when it was like a worthy opponent to Britain, that's when they kind of engineered conflict and got them into a war with each other. And so they can do the same with any countries. It's kind of the same template. They will invest and build that country up. And then if you don't know what's happening, it's easy just to kind of look at the surface and go, oh, this particular leader or this party had an amazing economic policy, and look what they did, because like some people that understand this, they're like, Hitler's economic miracle of the 1930s, look what he did to Germany. Well, yeah, I mean, Hitler had a lot of charisma, but he was totally funded by Wall Street. And there's Anthony Sutton, and a lot of people have done the research on this to show this. It wasn't Hitler's economic miracle. He was being built up by people behind the scenes because they had a plan to set Germany against other countries. They'll do the same with going forward with Iran, Russia, China, and the West. It's they have so much power now with all this money and what they're able to fund that they can control these world events. So we have to wake up and not look at just the countries and people on the puppet stage and the apparent fight that's happening on the stage, and look at who's pulling the strings behind the stage. That is super important that we are able to do that right now.
Let's end where we started, which is in Italy. The Vatican. What is the role of the Vatican in this satanic network? Because, most people would say that they're supposed to be against Satanism, right? And then you see some of the new buildings that they built that look like snakes and have some sort of weird stuff going on the stage behind them that can only be described as terrifying. This artwork that they post up there. And of course, the Pope himself was involved in the dirty war in Argentina and having people thrown out of helicopters. So he's not the nicest guy in the world. Is the satanic network intertwined with the Vatican?
Yeah, it is. And the Vatican's one of many threads. You know, when people first start looking at this, they're like, oh, it's the Jesuits. Oh, it's the Roman Catholic Church. Oh, it's the Jews. Oh, it's this and that. And yeah, like these are all threads of it. But I would suggest that the Satanism and the banking, the private banking is kind of like the key at the center that unites all of these different threads. But yes, there are witnesses that talk about how there is satanic ritual that's conducted under the Vatican. There is one woman who grew up in Italy and she had a father that was connected. I mean, a lot of this stuff is intergenerational Satanism. Her father was connected with Freemasons in Italy. And I think her uncle was the one that brought her into it. And so she was kind of basically abducted and kidnapped and brought into these rituals happening under the Vatican. So yes, the Vatican is part of this. I wouldn't say it's the central part, but it's another thread that connects. Like all of this is connected ultimately if you go deep enough. Yeah.
What are you working on over at thefreedomarticles.com?
Well, I'm starting work on a new book, which is going to be tracing the origins of this cult kind of further back in history and showing how it's kind of like basically controlled the world, like all these events that we think were natural outcomes, whether it was movements like feminism or Bill of Rights or, you know, freedom and democracy, or whether it was like communism or Nazism, Zionism, all these isms and ideologies are actually created for us by this same group because they serve a particular purpose. Like some of it gives people a certain amount of freedom or it might help the human race in some way, but there's always kind of an ulterior motive where it's keeping us trapped and locked in some kind of like ism where we're in opposition to other. It's kind of like a divide and conquer thing, and it's always narrowing our perception in some way. So I'm kind of getting into some of that and some other work. But yeah, so I don't know when this book will be ready, but that's what I'm working on, as well as just kind of, you know, I just generally put out videos at thefreedomarticles.com on current events.
Yeah, get on the mailing list too. What's the best place for people to find the book?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon. So basically here it is here, the International Satanic Network Exposed. And it's in it's available in print, ebook, or audiobook. Amazon's easy. If you want to go to my website, thefreedomarticles.com, you can just click on there's a big banner there. Just click on that. That'll take you to it.
I mean, I wish we were talking about something more fun, but this is what it is. And it's the reality of the world that we live in. So we can ignore it and be ignorant to it, or we can educate ourselves on it, even though it's pretty tough material, and know what we're up against. Because if you're somebody if you're a parent and you've got some young kid and you're like, I want them to do movies in Hollywood, I mean, you need to know what you're going up against. And if you're somebody that thinks, oh, well, the banks aren't that bad, you know, I mean, you really need to understand this because for us living in this world, it pays to know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. Makia Freeman from thefreedomarticles.com is definitely one of the good guys. We appreciate you. Thanks for coming back on this show. We'll see you next time. I'm sure we'll talk about something that'll scare the hell out of the audience, but we need it. This audience can handle it. We've talked about worse on here. And if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. If you want to connect with me, the website, macroaggressions.io. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.
When it comes to Mother's Day, at Ritual, we believe in giving her flowers. But are flowers what she actually wants? We asked around, and flowers are fine, but most women would prefer science-backed gut support that never wilts. While we're at it, throw in Stress Relief, our chill pill designed with clinically studied forms of ingredients to reduce daily stress. Did we mention that all of our supplements are clean, vegan, and third-party tested for heavy metals and microbes? Because if you ask us, the thought counts, but traceable science and sourcing count more. Find your ritual. Get what you really want this year, whether you're a mom or not.
with 40% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. When it comes to Mother's Day, at Ritual, we believe in giving her flowers. But are flowers what she actually wants? We asked around, and flowers are fine, but most women would prefer science-backed gut support that never wilts. While we're at it, throw in Stress Relief, our chill pill designed with clinically studied forms of ingredients to reduce daily stress. Did we mention that all of our supplements are clean, vegan, and third-party tested for heavy metals and microbes? Because if you ask us, the thought counts, but traceable science and sourcing count more. Find your ritual. Get what you really want this year, whether you're a mom or not, with 40% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.